live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I totally love that.
This is the Conway and Carolla Show.
I'll be high as a kite. We'll see how it goes.
With special babbling sidekick, Danny Bonaducci.
Really?
And an occasional appearance by Tom Likas.
Yes.
And also Frosty, Adi, or Frank.
Really?
Maybe even John and Jeff, if they're here early.
Finland? I'll put you in
all I want for you. All right. Welcome, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. And we will. We'll do it live. We're going to record this show?
We'll do it live!
All right, Kay, we got a huge, huge evening for you, so prepare to spend 3 hours with 97.1 Free FM tonight. We have Adam Carolla calling up momentarily here, plus news with Gina, and then talking about the Belmont Stakes, the last leg of the Triple Crown, and we'll have probably about 6 or 7 complete degenerates that I know from the track in here to discuss who might beat Big Brown. And if Big Brown wins tomorrow, it'll be the first horse to win the Triple Crown since 1978. So a lot of people
Word.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? So a lot of people listening right now weren't even born the last time a horse won the Triple Crown, including Paris Hilton. Because 1981, when I'm graduating high school out there very proudly in my cap and gown, in June of 1981, sitting there on, Balboa and Victory, I'm graduating high school. That same time, Paris Hilton was born. So I graduated high school the same year Paris Hilton was born. And I told Sam Phillips that. I said, as I'm graduating high school, Paris Hilton's being born. She said, you mean on campus?
Sure.
When you were graduating on campus? I'm like, no, baby, please. All right, folks, and then at 10 o'clock, completely open phone, so anything you'd like to talk about, we will do that at 10 o'clock. So a huge, huge night here on the Tim Conway Jr. Show. And again, anyway, getting back to the Belmont. No horse has won since Affirmed in 1978, and then before that it was Seattle Slough in 77 and Secretariat in 1973. Look at those three horses in the 70s. Secretariat, Seattle Slough, and Affirmed all won the Triple Crown. And tomorrow it might happen. I believe NBC is carrying it tomorrow. Are they? I think NBC is carrying it. I think they are. But anyway, it might happen tomorrow afternoon. So you might see history tomorrow afternoon. And I think they usually run that about 2:30, 3 o'clock. It's a big field. So a field of 10 horses. And nobody has ever won the Triple Crown in a field of 10 horses. So we'll talk about that 9 o'clock with at least 5 complete degenerates who I know from Santa Anita and Hollywood Park, and a degenerate from back east who is also wildly addicted to gambling, and myself. So we'll try to give you a horse that may beat Big Brown tomorrow in the big Belmont race. All right, folks. Adam Kroll is going to be calling us momentarily here. And I'm sure he wants to talk about what he talked about earlier today. Earlier this week, cities that sound great here in Los Angeles, but really aren't that thrilling. And he had mentioned Hawaiian Gardens as one of them. And this happened to me a couple of months ago. A friend of my wife's is coming down from Oregon. And she said, we're looking at some places to stay because they're going to stay for a week down here in Southern California. And they said, we're looking at a place called Bell Gardens. It sounds very nice. Is that a great place to hang? And I said, it's going to be relatively inexpensive. And you'll want to be in your hotel room probably by about 6:30 and lock that door. But if you don't mind that, Bell Gardens is a wonderful place. You'll be able to gamble relatively nearby. And I would leave the kid at home. But then she said, well, they looked at some other cities. Panorama City was another one of them, because it sounds beautiful. Panorama City. And then you think about it, and you go, Panorama City. I said I'd pass on Panorama City as well. And there are some other ones that Adam was talking about. And we'll chat with Adam Carolla here and see what he had mentioned. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy that bats lead off here on 97.1 Free FM. Adam Carolla, how are you, dude?
Hi, Timmy.
Look at you, man. Hey, listen, before we get into these cities that sound great and really aren't that great, I was driving to work today, and I don't know if you're a big Dodgers fan or a baseball fan, but you grew up here in Southern California. Did you watch baseball at all?
Yeah, I did. I'm throwing out the first pitch in a month or so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Look at you. Well, yeah. I'm driving. I'm listening to KBC when Tom was in the commercial there, and I'm listening to, I don't know who it is over there. I guess it's Rick Monday. And he's talking to a scout, a pitching scout from the Atlanta Braves. They're not even playing the Atlanta Braves. They're playing like the Chicago Cubs tonight.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, who the Christ is listening anymore to a pregame talk show?
Well, who does that? And that guy had to cut it short because he was late. He had to get to the Tonight Show that night. Like, what kind of booker, how deep in your Rolodex does your booker need to go to get the guy who's working with the bullpen catcher in the Atlanta AAA team, you know?
But, you know, I guess the pregame show is for those people that like to show up and watch batting practice, but that's like 12 people in Los Angeles.
The thing that's crazy about baseball, forget about pregame, how about preseason. Bunch of fat Dominicans wearing like sweatpants and stuff. Like, they're not even in their real uniforms.
Right.
It's a 165 game season.
Right.
You're going to watch the 25 games that don't count.
And also, how about that post game show? Dodgers have just lost 16-3, and these two guys have to stay up till midnight fielding calls.
And I love that one, too. I love when they go, for those of you keeping score at home, like you have some kind of spreadsheet out, it's pivotal game 71 in a 200-game season.
Right, exactly.
You're making your own fantasy order. It is crazy. Yeah, the guys, the people that keep score, like they literally...
Oh, yeah, they bring the book with them.
Bring the book with them.
Right.
As if at some point the ump's going to stop the game and go up to the nosebleed seat. And there's going to be some fat ass who works over, you know, the Lockheed. And he's going to go, look, we got a discrepancy here. Let's check this. Yes, there's a Bob is a local hero now because he accurately and dutifully kept score.
Right.
Keeping score. There's a huge thing, by the way. It's lit up. It's in center field. It has the word score in it. It's
right.
Followed by the word board. Score board. It's got 9-foot-tall letters, and you can see it from anywhere in the park.
Right. And you know, when they used to keep these old scorecards, you know, before there was, you know, TV or perhaps radio or perhaps the scoreboard, then that was one thing. But
right.
Now there's 50,000 people looking at the same game. There's radio, there's audio, there's visual. This thing is documented, you know, more closely than the, you know,
yeah,
than the space shuttle.
You don't need
leaving.
To go there with your golf pencil and fill out the. By the way, you go out to the game. The entire game, your head's buried in your lap. You never
right, exactly.
Look up. You're staring at your lap the entire time, like you're taking a Scantron test.
Yeah, I also love the couples that, you know, they're going to do something as a couple. The man and the woman
right.
are going to go to a baseball game, and they both have headphones on and are listening to Vin Scully for 9 innings and never say a word to each other.
Well, we're wearing the matching Ron Say jersey, and that's the important part.
Right.
I know, it is incredible.
And on a real fat chick, the number 12 or the number 10 on your back doesn't look good because it looks like the dress size.
No, listen, you got to go Yankees because they have a vertical stripe and they're slimming.
Right.
If you get a fat girlfriend and you're going to do the matching jersey thing,
right.
You
got
to go to a place where they have the pinstripe.
Yeah, you don't want to go with the Astros. She looks like Saturn.
Right. Devil Rays is bad. You don't want solid colors. Yeah.
Right.
The old, and stay away from the throwback stuff like the old Padres jerseys where she just looks like a giant bean burrito.
Right. All right, Adam Carolla is with us, everybody. I was on a vacation a couple weeks ago, and I taped something, and I actually thought of you when I was showing this to my wife. But I taped a cooking show, and I taped it purposely to show my wife. And it's one of those things where, you know, they got the magic oven. You know, nobody's ever seen this type of oven to cook this kind of meal before.
Now, is it a cooking show or are they selling the oven?
I think there was a little of both. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, they're now trying to disguise it as a cooking show, but at the end you can buy everything on the set.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm watching this woman cook this this Mexican meal, and she's making it all in this this oven, and she's cooking, I don't know, nachos and burritos, and she had an enchilada. And then it was time for the tasting of what she just cooked. And I froze it on my DVR, and I said to my wife, I go, guess what the reaction is going to be from the woman tasting the food?
Yeah. Little slice of heaven.
It's always the same. It's always the same.
I like that reaction. I like the other reaction when the guy's doing the advertisement for the Dent King, the thing that pulls dents out of the side of your car.
Right.
And they go, no more paying off expensive body shots. And you have the guy who's the cartoon character from the 60s. He's got the cigar butt in his mouth.
Right.
His hat's turned up in the front. And he's being paid in 20s, and he just keeps shaking his head and laughing. Pile it on. Pile it on. Pile it on. Like, by the way, doesn't your insurance take care of that stuff? Number one. Number two, you've done $1,800 worth of damage to the Saab. You're going to pay in $520? Bills. Like, and by the way, when is the last time you paid a guy off while he was laughing and shaking his head?
Right. And also, when's the last time you fixed anything on your car where you step back and go, wow, perfect?
No, but I had a realization today. I had a bizarre realization because, you know, you and I are, you know, about the same age and come from about the same geographic location.
Right.
I mean, really, when you're talking about the Earth's calendar and just the globe, you and I are practically brothers.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
We grew up 3 or 4 miles from each other in the valley in the same time.
Right.
How old are you? You 42?
I just turned 44 last
44.
Week.
44. I'll be 44 in October. Look at that.
We're same age, same place.
Yes.
So I was saying to a buddy of mine, I said, you know, I saw a guy driving around with the Space Saver spare on the car.
Oh, right.
The one they paint bright red to shame the person. It's just, it's got a solid rubber tire around it. It's not meant to. It's meant to get you to the place that changes your tire.
Right.
It's meant to get you down Ventura Boulevard to the Firestone. Except for, you will see guys that are driving around where the lug nuts are rusted on, meaning this thing's seen 2 winters now. And I realized when we were driving around with mom's 71 VW Squareback with
right.
the antenna made fashioned from a metal coat hanger.
Right.
This is our generation's new coat hanger. You know how we could pick out the losers?
Right.
You knew the loser because he's the guy who had the coat hanger for the antenna.
Right, exactly.
We can do that with the Space Saver now.
Oh, yeah. And I like the Space Saver. You know, those things aren't designed to go more than about 45 miles an hour. I love the guy trying to get to Vegas on one.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks to himself, well, as long as I can get to Vegas, that's where my luck's going to turn around.
And by the way, if you do run into trouble, and I'm guessing you will, but first off, you've already gotten one flat. How do you think it works? It's like chicken pox? You got it out of your system? This could never happen again? There's a couple things I know. One is you're prone to getting flat. Number two, you have a Thomas guide where your spare tire should be in the boot of your trunk, right? There's nothing in there but a couple of flares and some porn the old lady didn't want to see in the house.
Right, an old gin bottle.
You got a gin bottle. You got a Wii from 1978, a half a road flare.
Right.
And that's it. And a roll of duct tape back there, right?
Well, yeah, but you know the guy that has one of these little donuts on is wildly into procrastination.
Yeah.
And so if you see a guy with a donut on his car, chances are he doesn't have another donut or another spare in the back.
There's no such thing. It's impossible because you can't. The cars don't come with two Space Saver spares. And nobody would be that nuts to go out and buy a second one because they're more expensive than replacing the other tire.
Right.
And then once you paid $69 and replaced the other tire, it would immediately go on the car.
Right.
So obviously there's nothing in the trunk of the car but air and possibly an Asian hooker's body. What is your plan when the next tire blows out?
Well, you know what is even worse than watching a guy buzz around with one of those donuts on, with one of those spares, is when you see it locked up by LAPD for not paying his parking tickets. He's got the boot on the donut.
That is shame on shame. That's like someone saying, your herpes has crabs. Wow. They threw the Denver boot on his space saver.
But doesn't the guy who throws the Denver boot on the space saver, doesn't he have to step back and for a second pause and go, maybe this isn't a good idea? Maybe he will snap and kill somebody if I do this?
I feel like the most dangerous gig in LAPD is the guy who puts the boots on the car.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, the SWAT team gets called out twice a year, but there's just some junkie who's held up in his house with a Daisy air rifle, and you're wearing body armor, and, you got a guy's rappelling from helicopters. The guy who puts the boot, the Denver boot on the car, goes out without backup. You know, he doesn't yell to his partner in the Chevette, cover me, and roll over his hood. He just comes walking down the street. And by the way, when you're putting the Denver boot on a guy's space saver, that guy's hit rock bottom.
Right. Yeah, no, it's like taking the Amtrak. Amtrak charges you more and takes you longer than the airplanes.
Right.
Yeah, they double you up.
He's what's-his-name and Falling Down. Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah, what, Michael Douglas?
Yeah, Michael Douglas. That's about the phase in life you're catching this guy at. And if he looks out of his apartment window and sees this, that could just send him over the edge. I mean, he could just come flying out with a sprinkler key or a samurai sword or something, right?
And I'm sure that there's, you know, some one of these a-holes had decided that that's probably not enough metal to keep me here. I'm going to try to drive a couple of blocks with that thing on the wheel. And it's, you know, a lot of fender damage. But once, you know, like you get 2-3 miles with that boot on the car, I imagine the fender really frees up around it.
It really is. It's funny. It's really like, you know, the guy who shows up at your house to evict you? That is that guy for your car.
Yeah, well, you know, if you follow that guy back to his, you know, to his house, and God only knows how far he's parked from his house, but I'm sure there's a $399 moves you in sign on the front of his apartment building.
No first, no last. We speak Espanol.
Yeah, the $399 moves you in, and they, if you turn the sign over, it says dot dot dot, and the sheriff moves you out.
The Denver boot detail has to be the worst gig in the, as far as city gigs go. I mean, we talk about trash men.
Right.
We talk about guys working for, you know, the sewer department and that kind of stuff. But the guy who's out there throwing the Denver boots on, that's got to take a little bite out of your soul each day, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? It probably takes some time to put it on. And that 5 minutes it takes to attach one of those Denver boots probably seems like 6 hours.
Be a class action lawsuit against the city of Denver for coming up with this horrific device.
The Denver boot.
Was it invented in Denver? Did it just, is it, and then I'm not sure, like the Denver omelet, did that come out of Denver too?
Yeah.
Was it about the same time the boot came out? And is anything related to Bob Denver from Gilligan's Island? I'd like to get to the bottom of that, because I don't think that Denver invented cheese, ham, onion and bell pepper in an omelet.
Yeah, somebody may have put that together before then.
That thing was probably being made in Europe 500 years ago.
Yeah, speaking of that, I was over at IHOP the other day, and I have the meal, and I'm leaving IHOP, and the woman says, "How was it?" And I go, "Eh." And she goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I paid $7.99 for a dinner. I mean, that's what I deserve. You know, that's what you get. I mean, it wasn't sensational. It wasn't bad. It was $70.99. That's what the dinner was. I mean, if I go to Monty's and spend $40, that's a great meal."
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. My daughter's wrestling with me.
Is she speaking English yet, by the way?
She's throwing herself on the ground. By the way, don't you wish you had that option?
Oh, yeah.
Where you could throw yourself on the ground?
Yeah.
You know, you're just in there arguing with Jack Silver. You're like, look, I need a dad player, and I need a raise. And he's like, screw you, Conway. And you're like, I'm going to toss myself on your office floor then. You just lay down
just
on
roll
the
around.
Floor. You just cling on to his desk leg until he does something about it.
Yeah. Just roll around going, I hate you.
Yeah.
Are you kids speaking English yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Well,
look,
they speak mostly Spanish.
Right. Now, your kids are turning 2 years old. Is that right?
Yeah, they're turning two,
and
they speak a little. Well, here's Sonny. Sonny.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Wow. What's he watching on TV?
He's watching.
Sounds like
watching. Well, actually, I got Taboo 2 on.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I got about another year of porn left in me, and then I'm going to have to switch it over to SpongeBob.
It sounds like he's watching me. that
Sonny,
happened to a...
You watching Taboo too?
Yeah. I was driving around with a friend of mine the other day, and he has an 8-year-old daughter. And he's a married dude, but he was telling me about this really hot chick who works at his office.
Oh yeah,
and I'm saying hey Bubbo, Bubbo, you know the kid in the back, and he goes, oh she's only 8 years old.
Hey. Oh yeah. Oh,
well, he
yeah.
is watching some good stuff.
Oh yeah.
All right, so I'm going to leave you alone with Abu too. All right. All right, boy.
That's a classic.
Oh yeah.
Hey, you got it. For people that didn't hear you talk about this, you got it real quickly, if you don't mind. When I was growing up, and you were growing up, you know, we all assume that our dads were the, you know, the biggest guys in the world in the genital area.
Oh, downstairs. Well, I don't know. Look, it's not quite time for my kids just yet, but I always told Dr. Drew I would do this, and I'm still planning on it. I'm walking out of ear range of my wife, though. I don't want her to hear me. But, yeah, you know, here's why you think your dad is the biggest downstairs.
Right.
It's the same way I thought my grandparents had an Olympic-sized swimming pool when I was 7 years old, and now I go in there and it's 5 foot deep
right.
on the deep end.
Right.
The deep's like, it's the world's smallest pool, and I thought it was a huge pool. It was relative. I was small.
Right.
And your kids, you'll get that look of your dad once coming out of the shower when you're literally... You know, when the thing comes up to about where your head is, you know what I mean? I mean, you could use that thing like a ring announcer uses a microphone. You know what I'm saying? And when you're 40 pounds and you're 2.5 foot tall, everything's big.
Right.
So you give the kid a shot once, you burn it into a psyche, and then the kid never sees you again. Right?
Butter. And he's...
But he gets... So now, I'm not saying go, you know, I'm not saying film a porno movie.
Right.
But I'm saying, you know, get a little blood flowing, you know, nothing obvious, but you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
A little, remember back in the day when you'd go skinny dipping and there'd be a chick in the jacuzzi waiting for you to come out of the ski chalet? You did that same move. A little twist, a little tug. It's that move you do. It's a move you do before you start jogging, you know? Just,
right.
Yeah. Okay, here we go now. Let's just get a little blood flowing, and I find something to reflect the light a little bit, you know?
Right, and boom,
you know,
there it is.
A little baby oil or something. I'm not saying slather it on, Tim. I'm not not a weirdo. I'm saying just a little something to catch the light. Like bodybuilders, before they go out for a competition, they'll oil up a little bit.
Right.
You know what? It shows definition.
Absolutely.
Little that, step out of the bathroom, and I'm saying don't burst out, yell ta-da. Come out innocently with the towel on your head. You know what I mean? You didn't know they were there. Give them a nice 3 Mississippi full frontal, and then wrap the towel around it. That'll be it. I swear to God, 15 years later, Your son's going to be like bringing his buddies home from high school, and it's going to be like, hey, Mr. C, high fives all around. You know what I'm saying?
I got to do that. Hey, now, you know, speaking of you know, being short, and, you know, that's one of the reasons why everything looks so big. You know, when you're walking around like a Kmart or Walmart or, you know, Target, wherever you walk around, and you smell somebody's fart, right?
Mm-hmm.
That fart had to go from from the guy's ass area, obviously, up to your nose. And that sometimes is 3 feet.
Yeah,
but the kids, their nose is 3 feet tall. It's ass level. Are they getting a different vibe or a different whiff than you are?
I had... My kids don't speak too much English, but they do the poo-poos, you know what I mean? And Daddy let one fly the other day, and I got the poo-poos. Like, hey, Olga, Dad needs his diaper changed. I also...
Well, because I thought of this. I thought if, you know, maybe, like, if Kareem Abdul was walking around Target, he may have never smelled another guy's fart. But Billy Barty has to go home and wash his hair every night.
Oh. I love the fact that he's been in the grave for 14 years. You're making fart jokes about him.
It's like there's no other short guy that anyone references.
You go Vern Troyer now, buddy. Mini-me.
Oh, that's right.
And I went to school with Billy Barty's daughter, Lori Barty, and she was a Barty as well.
Is that right?
Midget as well, or I'm scared. I'm not sure what.
How fortunate for her that you got into radio.
but she loves it. And I'm not, you know, I don't know if you've done this one with the kid yet, where you blame your fart on the kid.
Oh, yeah, I do that all. I did last night.
So what happened? Yeah, you let one go. Now, it's not that the kid farted. The wife walks into the room and goes, "Duck. Good Christ, what the?" And you go, "Hey, don't look at," and then she looks at the kid. The kid crapped himself, right?
Right.
So then she does that. "All right, sonny, let's change your," and then she looks, and there's nothing in the diaper.
Right.
At that point, you're going to have to backpedal just a little bit. But,
well, you know, at that point, you just put some chocolate pudding in the kid's diaper. You got to really sell it.
As long as you keep the dog and the kid nearby.
Right.
Like two things. Here's what you're looking for. You're looking for can produce gas, cannot produce words. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because if you're standing next to one of your buddies and you try to blame it on him, he's like, "Hey, douchebag, I didn't fart. Tim farted."
Yeah, he's got a brain.
Right. You get the dog and the kid next to you. That's your break win sandwich.
But I'm sure that you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I'm sure that at some point, though, your wife recognizes that your own odor, though.
Yeah, but you know what? My ass is like a chameleon. I keep moving. I change my diet. You know, I'm like one of these. My farts can't be traced. You know, I'm like one of these guys, like that Born Identity guy. You know what I mean? I'm good. You know that thing where the guy's on the trail of my gas goes, "This guy's good." You know, I don't use a cell phone for too long in one place. You know, I change my underpants all the time. You know,
yeah, I keep moving.
I stay one step ahead of the law.
one step ahead of the next for the last fart.
Right. Constantly changing the diet. That's the key.
Yeah, I got to start doing that.
Yeah, otherwise they'll know your pattern because they'll know. Oh, I guess Tim went to the track last night because you eat the same, you know, you have four Heinekens, three bratwursts, nine cigarettes, and it's the same thing every time comes out of your ass.
I always thought that the cushions that take the brunt of the wildest farts ever are the ones at Southwest Airlines on the return flight from Vegas. Because you've had 3 nights of being very nervous over losing 4 or 5 grand that you don't have. You've eaten crappy food, you've had a lot of drinks, and now those cushions are absorbing the entire weekend.
It is true, and the Diet Coke and the Fiesta mix end up being just the last two ingredients you needed to send ass into a hyper mode. It is true, the nerves of sitting and losing the kid's education mixed with the bottomless bucket of shrimp you ate at the buffet does create that. Also, there's no such thing as a Southwest flight that doesn't have a morbidly obese guy who's wearing like a hockey jersey with the sleeves cut off that everyone can immediately pin it to. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's not fair, but it's the same thing we do subtly. You know, it's like somebody robbed the liquor store. You show them three lily white faces and one gangbanger, and everyone points at that guy, right?
Right.
Goes, yeah, he did it. Same thing with the fat guy and farting.
Right.
We'll do the fat guy math. You'll be sitting in, you know, you'll be sitting in aisle 52 of a Southwest flight back from McCarran. You go, who beefed in here? And you look around. You'll skim past the good-looking strippers that are coming back from Vegas.
Right.
You'll skim back past the business guy. Skim past the guy who looks like he's a triathlete and hone in on the fat guy with the hockey jersey. And go, all right, wide load over there. I had to bust ass, right?
But that's why they always pretend like they're sleeping, just so they don't get those looks.
You know, it must be weird to have every bad smell pinned to you. Like the fattest guy in the room, I don't care if it's the bus or the airplane. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but I flew a Southwest flight with Kimmel where the chick got out and sprayed air freshener at him. At him. Like he was a bug and she had a can of Raid. She was that disgusted by his ass. That was on a Southwest flight in Tahoe, by the way. He also had it done on a shuttle bus at a concert I was on as well. Two modalities of transportation where somebody involved with that transportation actually got out a can of Wizard and sprayed it at him. Who else can say that?
That's something you never forget. You know, you could be 80 years old on your last breath and on, you know, a ventilator over at, you know, at the UCLA hospital, and you still think to yourself, that goddamn guy sprayed me because he thought I smelled.
He did let the gas go. I mean, he did.
Okay.
He did. Let me tell you quickly the greatest thing I ever did to Kimmel involving gas. Told the story on my show before, but I don't think I've ever said it on yours.
Right.
You know that thing where you like to bust a fart on a guy, or you do the whoosh, the wave, you know, you waft it up toward his face.
You scoop it up, yeah.
Or what have you. But the guy pulls his shirt up over his mouth, or he starts that big mouth breath thing, or runs out of room. Like, you can fart around a guy or wave it at a guy, but you can never really get him to take it in. You know what I mean?
Right.
I figured out a way to do this.
Oh, good.
I was at my house. We played cards at my house. Like it was like 10 years ago, and everyone else cleaned out and left. And like an old gay couple, we were left behind to like bust the dishes and put away the nacho things and all that. And Jimmy was standing at the sink and he was washing the dishes. And I had a huge, you know, I was drunk and probably a little bit high at the time and playing cards for 5 hours. I had a huge fart coming. And I looked around, and there was a Trader Joe's can, the whole bean coffee can, you know, the cylinder?
Right.
Kind of come in a cylinder, but it was empty. There was like two beans at the bottom of it. And I pressed that thing so tight against my ass, it was like a vapor lock. And I just filled it to the brim. You couldn't even hear it. It was just a and popped it off my butt, whipped it around, and I said, Kimmel, whole bean Sumatra coffee. Ever smell anything better than this? And he grabbed the can. And if you think about what you do when you smell coffee, you don't put your nose 2 foot away from the can and slowly start. You'll actually hit yourself on the forehead with the top rim of the can.
Right.
He buried his face into the cylinder, gave that kind of smell you give when you're smelling whole coffee beans.
Yeah,
and you give a pull the can away. And the best moment is that just that split second where you can tell he knows something's up, but his mind hasn't caught up to his nose yet. You know what I mean? It's that same thing you do. Remember when you're a kid and there'd just be a Tupperware thing in the refrigerator, and you thought it had orange juice in it, but it had powdered milk in it?
Right.
And you took a swig out of it, and you're like, whoa. There was that one moment where your mind had to figure out what was going on.
That's classic.
That was a great look. That was a great moment, and then he almost vomited. Because you can fart all you want around somebody, but you can never really make them inhale it.
Right, I know, because they always have, you know, the shirt that comes over the nose. Although I've discovered that's a placebo.
I, no, it makes you feel good.
Yeah,
but it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, you're smelling your own chest hairs.
When we wrote over at on Kimmel's show, his cousin Sal farted up the writer's room so much, we couldn't stop every time he farted. A call would go out, and someone would just say, "Shields," and everyone would pull their shirt up over their nose, and then the meeting would continue as if nothing ever happened, except for everyone was talking through their T-shirt. It's great, a bunch of 35-year-old guys.
That's awesome.
Shields.
Hey, buddy, thanks for coming on, man. It's always a good time. It always seems like 2 minutes, but it's been a half hour. Look at that, man.
Holy Christ, where'd the time go, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, looking forward to maybe next Friday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to those kids.
Yeah, I'll go... put that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and watch out for Hammer June 24th on DVD.
Yeah, it's coming
Look
out.
At that.
I'll tell you, and listen, it's a passion project for me. I'm not making any money on it, but you can go to Amazon and pre-order it. And I'll tell you what, here's what I just want to put out to your people.
Sure.
Go to Amazon and read the reviews for the Hammer, and if they seem good, then order it.
Right. And if you order it and you send it in to Carolla, maybe he'll sign it for you.
And if you think it's below an 8, I'll return your money.
Yeah, you'll come out to their. Have you had to return any money yet?
Tim, you know, I did your show, 5 weeks in a row.
Right.
I went out to theaters all over the Southland. I spoke to literally thousands of people, and not one request.
Wow, that's great.
Back.
Sensational. Yep. Well, congratulations,
man. The same continues for the DVD.
Perfect. All right, thanks
buddy,
for coming
boy.
On, buddy.
Talk to you next
All
week.
Right, take care of yourself. There he goes, folks. Adam Carroll, everybody. Sorry we're running late here. We'll catch up, though. 9 o'clock, we're going to talk about the Belmont, but we have news with Gina Grad coming up. Gina, what's on the news, baby?
Well, game one of the NBA playoffs is now over, and Ed McMahon may be receiving help from a very famous television personality.
Ooh.
We'll reveal who won the game and who's helping out Ed right after the break.
There you go. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM.